The Packers had a number of players either limited or out of practice on Wednesday altogether. Demaryius Randall, J.C. Treader, Jake Ryan, Ty Montgomery, and T.J. Lang all held out of workouts yesterday. Lang suffered a foot injury in the loss to the Titans. He said he expects to miss several weeks. Don Barclay is working in his place at practice. Rookie Jason Spriggs working at left tackle for David Bakhtiari, who injured his right knee on Sunday. Bakhtiari, limited yesterday, said he wasn't sure about his playing status for Sunday's game at Washington. I'm Bill Scott. I'll have more from Titletown later on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
Thank you, Bill. 12 minutes until 10 o'clock on your throwback Thursday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable package. Glenn Klein, and we will be having our NFL predictions later on this morning with our community conversationalist and tag team partner, Mark Eichhorst. I know you beautiful humans look forward to that every single week. Now, I've already predicted that the Packers are going to turn around their season and make a deep run into the playoffs, and you know how good a predictor I am. But I'm going to make a great suggestion for you, those that like to imbibe, a drinking game for the Packers and Redskins game this Sunday night. Sunday night, just a fantastic time for a drinking game. Every time the broadcasters mention Vince Lombardi, you do a shot. Now, Vince gets mentioned, obviously, but not like when the Redskins and the Packers play each other. Because, of course, Coach Lombardi went from the Packers after he turned around the situation here. Historic turnaround. I mean, the Packers were not the Packers until Lombardi got here again. And then, of course, he went and did the same thing in the nation's capital. Even incorporated some Packer look to the Redskins uniform. Do a shot every time, if you like to imbibe, they mention Vince Lombardi this Sunday night. Also coming up in the next hour, we are going to give away another 30-pack meal from the Wingstop at 5400 Washington Avenue in Racine. This day's giveaway, you're going to have to earn besides just calling. It's going to be a trivia question. So stay tuned for that. That'll be in the 10 o'clock hour on your radio friend. Jen Schupeck is a writer, blogger, Midwest lifer, wife, mother, and friend to all. She shares embarrassing life anecdotes and muses about raising teenagers at jenschupeck.com. That's J-E-N-C-Z-U-P-E-K. You can read her blog there, generally speaking. And she is our Power Rotations mom in chief. Please welcome her back to Community Conversations. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had. And that's a great drinking game idea, isn't it?
You know, are you going to provide the note to employers that people need an excuse on Monday? Because that might be in order.
Jen, the answer to your yes or no question is no, I will not.
Oh, bummer.
But I do think that the alcohol industry that does a lot of advertising on sports and all over television and radio, I think they should be honest. You know how they always say drink responsibly?
Yes.
They should really punctuate a little bit different. They should say drink responsibly. So the beautiful humans are on their own. But I'm taking the over and under on the amount of times that Vince Lombardi is mentioned during the course of the almost four-hour broadcast of the Packers-Redskins primetime game on Sunday night at 7. You take the
Your little game might actually keep me more engaged because I loved it when football was on Sundays and then Monday night.
And that's it.
Maybe some Saturday college games, and that's it. I'm telling you, this every day of the week football game nonsense has me not liking football as well because it is always on TV.
You're down there in Illinois, and you split your time between Wisconsin and Illinois. Are you Bears or Packers?
Traditionally a Bears fan. Yeah. However, we enjoy watching the Packers, and believe it or not, are beginning to root for the Packers as well. So I don't know if this is a very long, drawn-out conversion to being a Packers fan, or if we'll always have a little soft spot in our heart for the Bears, or if we're just tired of the Bears stinking so badly for so many years. Out of desperation, we're trying to have a good time.
You know that cockamamie thing they have in religion called conversion therapy for gay and lesbian people?
Mm-hmm.
They have that if you are a Bears fan. You can go through conversion therapy and become a Green Bay fan. It's okay.
Is it a 6-week program, 6 years?
No, it's a decision you make each day.
Oh,
you have to get up and say, I am not allergic to green and gold. That's what you have to do every day. You make those statements of affirmation while you're looking in the mirror in the morning, and you put on a Packer hat or a Packer T-shirt, and it works.
They don't have the colors going for them, I got to say that. I'm not a fan of the green and gold combo.
Well, I know you're a fan of green because that's Camp Menominee's colors, for God's sakes.
Green is fine on its own. The green and gold, not so much. But I'm not a fan of the orange and blue either, so I don't know.
I like the green and gold look. I'm more partial to green and white, our camp colors. However, and this will just dovetail so nicely into our conversation, when we started having kids, Dawn and I, we have six, but when we started having, Joseph, our firstborn, was born on the Bears Super Bowl Sunday. When the Bears beat the Patriots, after a 40-hour labor, Joe Klein came out, and of course, me being a lifelong Bears fan, he became a Bears fan. Plus, he was born on Super Bowl Sunday when the Bears won it, the Super Bowl shuffle. So here comes number two, Jacob, a year later. And as soon as Jake, being the classic second-born contrarian, realized that his older brother and his father were Bears fans, guess which team he decided to root for?
Of course. Packers.
Of course, the Pack. So I knew what was up psychologically because I've been working with the kids at camp for all those years. It's a personal passion of mine, studying the human condition. So I made the decision that if Jake was going to cheer for the Packers, I was going to cheer for the Packers. And it just worked out because in those early years, the Bears were good and the Packers sucked. And then it flipped. Mm-hmm. And it's been a wonderful thing that we've gotten to share. Like when the Bears were in the Super Bowl against the Indianapolis Colts a number of years ago, in Miami, we cheered for the Bears, and Jake was cheering for the Bears. And now, you know, obviously the Bears are just going for the first-round draft pick, so now we cheer for the Packers. But these decisions that we make, Jen, and I consider you an expert mom, about how we and what we communicate to our kids is so critical. And we just came through a very raucous and contentious election in this country that even the youngest of children were aware of. Jimmy Kimmel did some kids on the street interviews, and they really knew about, for example, Donald Trump. And people, especially on college campuses, and your oldest, your daughter is in Madison, they're freaking out right now about the election of Donald J. Trump. And so, generally speaking, what would you suggest to parents who are concerned about their kids being raised in an atmosphere where a significant percentage of the population in the country saying that this guy is a racist, he's a misogynist, he's a xenophobe, he's a sexist, and they're very upset that he is going to cause massive division and that this is not the kind of country they want to raise their kids in?
Yeah, I mean, and this, I think, is something that doesn't end with young kids or older kids. I mean, I had some of these conversations with my own kids over the last week, and to me, we're living in a historic time. And I told my daughter that the night of election. She said she voted that day, and I said, great, now watch the returns, because you will never see anything like this again for the rest of your life. No matter who wins, you're watching history tonight. And she kind of, I think, absorbed that and stuck with it and watched the election returns. And to me, what happened is an opportunity to teach our kids. It's an opportunity to understand and really seek to understand what they're thinking. Don't assume anything, because like you said, these kids know a lot of what's going on. And a lot of what they think is going on is what is presented to them and how it's presented, whether it's your own actions, actions of teachers or other influential adults in their lives, or the media. So first, seek to understand what their frame of reference is and why they think what they think, regardless of what the issue is. If they're scared, ask, why are you scared? What are you concerned about? I think a key message to these kids, you don't want to go overboard, right? You don't want to confuse them with the intricacies and the complexities of our political process, and both during the campaign and for governance, because they're two separate things. But you also want to give them a dose of reality with reassurance. So I would say to my kids, well, you know, understand what they're worried or concerned or afraid of, and then ask them, well, can you control what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes? Can you completely control what's going to happen in 5 hours or 5 days from now? The answer is no, none of us can. Not you, not me, not Dad, certainly not Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. So go back to living now, be aware, understand, you know, understand what's going on, and be concerned if you have concerns, but also realize you got to get up and move on. You got to live your life. We do have checks and balances in our system so that ideally nothing too crazy can happen. That's why we have the government that we have. And as upset as people are today, about the same number of people, maybe a little less, were just as concerned and upset 8 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah, but the media the media is treating this obviously significantly differently than they did with the election of Barack Obama. And was it yesterday or a couple days ago, we had our state representative, Corey Mason, in, who just had won re-election. He's a good liberal Democrat from this area. And he's got a six-year-old daughter who came back from school all upset because some of her classmates said that they might be deported. And she was in tears. And she said, Daddy, what's going to happen? And I asked the representative, what did you tell her? And he said, I didn't know what to tell her. And I said, what? They're not going to get deported. And he said, well, that's what Donald Trump said. People say a lot of things during the campaign. He's already walked that back. What does it say about...
Well, and even Obama has said in a speech last week, campaigning is one thing, governing is another thing.
Right. So how specific do you get with your kids on the details when they're hearing things? Because obviously academia is, as the media, is dominated by people on the left, by liberals who are going to try to gin up the fear because people respond, as they did to Trump's campaign, out of fear and anger. What do you tell them? How specific do you get with them about the history of the country, about the checks and balances, and the very real possibility that Trump actually might be a good president?
For my kids, we go deep. And we have, since they were probably 8, 9, 10 years old at the dinner table, we go as deep as they want to go into conversations about politics and history and social issues and economic issues, and we will have those conversations. With a six-year-old, though, I would ask her, well, what, do you know what it means to be deported? I would start there.
They were running...
Does she really even know what that means? And then have the discussion that says, look, there are laws in place in this country to protect us. If someone comes here illegally and commits crimes, do you want them staying? Now, do we want to rip families apart? Nobody wants that. Even Trump has said he doesn't want that. So just because you're hearing things, and just because you're hearing things from friends or even on TV, doesn't mean it's real.
I think one thing that is very clear is that if parents are not involved and conversing with their children, they're going to hear about things, whether it be about politics or about drugs and alcohol or about sex or about any issue. If parents are not actively involved in their kids' lives, then their kids are going to be apt to be taught by people and role models that you might not want them to be taught by.
Exactly right. It's funny you said that, because when my kids were very young at our cabin in Wisconsin, the question of sex came up. And it was not at a moment that I was prepared for, but I stopped what I was doing, and we had a 45-minute conversation. And my husband's like, hey, I got something to do in the garage. I'll see you in a little bit. Hey, where are you going? Get back here. I let him off the hook. But we had the very specific biological question of how it happens. And
how does it happen, John?
Cracked me up.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
The end of the conversation, so I was having the conversation with Kaylee. Jake meandered in. I said, hey, you might as well sit down and listen to this, too. He was 8, pretty young. And I got to the point of sperm and egg, and he took over the conversation. He said, oh, yeah, and then it fertilizes the egg, and then it splits into two, and then into four. I'm like, he's like, first it's called a zygote. I'm like, wait a minute. Ooh, how do you know this?
Oh, that's how it happens.
Brain pop, Mom. I'm like, what is brain pop? What are you talking about? Well, you remember when I broke my arm? Yes. And I had to stay inside for school recess? Yes. Well, I did brain pops on the computer, and one day I decided to look at reproduction. So here's my 8-year-old telling my 10-year-old how reproduction happens because he watched it on a video at school. So to your point, those influence, other influences in their life, if you're not having the conversation, they'll go online and find this stuff out if you're not hawking over every moment that they're on a computer. And I'm telling you right now, you can't hawk over every moment they're on a computer when they have the access at school.
No doubt about it. Well, you can find Jen Schupeck on your computer online. Her website is jenschupeck.com. It's JenCzUpeck.com. That's where she blogs, generally speaking. And she is the Power Rotations mom in chief. And, well, I feel much more reassured today, Mom. Thank you very much.
Oh, great. Thank you. Glad I could help.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.
The community conversation continues on the other side of WRJN Covering the World.
The top spy resigns. Obama, Germany, and Russia. I'm Evan Haining. The director of national intelligence, James Clapper, has